USA. USA. USA.
Okay, okay. USA. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
Yeah, he beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. Deshaun Watson, pase, touchdown, touchdown, Clemson, Renzo, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast, really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle, I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. Out of bounds, William Kwok, Miss Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Priority One Security Studios. Stop the presses, people. Clemson basketball is in fuego. They win every game now, regardless of opponent or venue, regardless of whether millions are watching or tens. Like at the Conte Forum last night, they win the game, and we're going to discuss it today.
I'm glad something or someone is warm. Something or someone is warm at this time.
It was 32 and I left my house.
I wore a ginormous
coat to the station.
Is it weird? Yeah, you wore the coat where you kind of look like you are Russian. That's the coat.
A little bit.
If you had one of those hats, what are those called?
You know what I mean?
Babushka. That hat Sanders wore, yes.
I don't know. Is that what you call him?
If Sandy is listening, which he's not, because I don't think he's here.
I just said a Russian word.
Bring the babushka hat to the station now.
Can we look up babushka? Because I don't think that's what that is.
Can I just give you a stat about the weather real quick?
Babushka lady comes up when you Google search babushka.
I don't know what that is. I'm kind of concerned.
That's in German. Oh, no. please do while I try to translate German.
Go ahead. I don't know if I should probably give her a shout on air. We both really like her. She writes for the Greenville News. Elizabeth LaFleur. You know her. Am I saying her last name right?
Yeah.
She's a great follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
She says, and this baffled me, the average low this time of year for our area is 32.
Correct.
Low.
Yes.
Meaning in the dead of night.
Yes.
It becomes 32 degrees.
Yes.
We've seen lows of 9, 15, and 17 this week. What did we do to deserve this? That's my question.
The polar vortex cyclone.
The bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
But we didn't get snow. That's the thing. And maybe this is the child in me. If you're going to make me live through 19 degrees, I need some snow. That's the bottom line.
Yushanka is the...
Yes, it's
Babushka
a Yushanka.
Babushka is a grandma. Babushka is definitely a grandma. So Yushanka is the hat.
Would a Babushka wear a Yushanka?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
I didn't look like a babushka when I came in here today, did I?
You did not look like a grandma, no. Not that you ever do, I don't think.
Right. I don't know. You have hated on my wardrobe.
Yeah, but it's never grandma-esque. You're not walking in and like grandma clothes, mom jeans.
We're gonna have a fun show today where Kelly tries to explain away Clemson beating a team with the hottest shooter in the history of basketball in the second half. Clemson beating that team, and somehow that means that Boston College is still terrible.
No, they're not. Did you see my tweet last night? Did you see my tweet? Look, I may or may not, whatever the word I'm looking for.
May or may not is that's definitely the word that you're looking for.
Because of BC.
It's tough.
I'll admit it. I do what we do every year in college football. I judge Boston College off of their previous season.
Correct.
And, well, frankly, off their previous six seasons.
We thought they were going to fire the coach right. like 100 times. Yeah.
Basically, Boston College post Jared Dudley is what I have judged them off of.
Okay.
And I thought they were a fluke because they play six players and basically all they do is shoot threes and make really tough contested threes. And they did that last night. But this team will win more than four games in the league, and I will have to wear a Tyler Hansbrough jersey, and I will just be repulsed by myself and have no respect for myself ever again if I have to wear this Tyler Hansbrough jersey. So it's happening. I'm going to lose this bet. That team is better than four wins. And I'm actually going to tell you where they are in my tiers of the ACC whenever we get to that, because they're in a pretty respectable tier is the point.
Would you rather do that today or tomorrow? We have a lot of topics for the next two shows, sir. And basically, we're just going to do...
We have too many topics.
We do have too many. We have like half of yesterday's show we didn't get to.
But remember, got to be grateful, because during the lean times...
Be humble.
Sit down and be humble, Quack, because July 9th, we're going to be wishing we had these.
That's true. Which offensive guards will make the best sophomores in college football? That's your July 9th topic.
Which offensive guards?
Which sophomore offensive guard? Yeah, name your top nine sophomore offensive guards. Quark and Kelly. I'll take it off the air. Alabama, Georgia. We still have plenty to discuss from that game. You have an interesting geographical point. I still have to make my one overarching point that I think is just going to flip the world on its head when it happens regarding one of your teams.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do that now? Because you teased it yesterday. Give me your... You know, whatever you're going to say about one of my teams, go ahead, give it to me right now. Let's go.
All right. First of all, you got a little attitude.
I got a little attitude because you've been talking about this crazy stat about one of my teams for 2 days, and I just need to know.
That looked like BK, Destiny's Child, like independent woman, that kind of stuff. What was it? Miss Independent was Clarkson, right?
Yeah. They have a song called Independent Woman, right? Yes. And they also have but then it's very contradictory because they also have the song Can You Pay My Bills?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't really know which Destiny's one Child was very they confused. Want. Yeah.
They didn't write their own stuff. That's not from
probably
the heart. Because your heart's not saying both those things. Just saying. We wrote these 2 years apart. Anyway. We want to go into like INDEPENDENT. Do you know what that means? You did that.
That's kind of how I feel right now because you're attacking one of my teams.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not an attack. It's just an observation that I've made. It's not an attack. In fact, you would be more inclined to be upset about the thing that we're talking about than I would.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. So, by the way, before we get to that, you can call the show. 654-ROAR's the number. 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone lines. 986-1566. The Health Air text line is open. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you with the Health Air. At Qualk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar on Twitter. Lots more about Clemson, BC. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I do want to get to this from yesterday. Because this is a college football NFL conversation. Okay. The NFL coaching carousel has spun. It is spinning. And in fact, later on today, we might talk about the open jobs before we get to playoff talk tomorrow. I'd love to talk about playoffs in a wild card round and
playoffs?
What's happening. Playoffs? What the... Are you kidding me? I just thought we could win a game. I remember that. Jim Mora.
We have to talk about it because the Panthers and Falcons are both in it. I mean, it's a big deal. They're playing each other.
They are playing each other. The Panthers are playing the Saints, aren't they?
Oh, no, wait.
We'll get to it.
No, the Panthers are playing the Falcons.
That's true. We'll get to it, right? Saints have a bye.
Okay, we're obviously very prepared to talk about the NFL playoffs.
Honestly, now I'm confused.
I was fully prepared to talk about the playoffs today. Okay, no, I'm wrong.
But yeah.
The Panthers are playing the Saints.
Okay.
The Falcons did not make the playoffs, did they?
Yeah, they're the sixth seed.
Oh, the Falcons are playing the Rams.
That's right.
Good grief.
Yeah, well, like I said, we'll get to it tomorrow.
The Cowboys made the playoffs, right?
We'll get to it tomorrow. No.
I know that one.
And here's where it's going to get interesting, because I see all these coaching contracts and all this coaching news. In fact, when we get to crunch the numbers, whenever that is today, which we could do that whenever you want to. Basically, it is just...
We're bringing back crunch the numbers?
We are. We're going to do that today. Ooh. I have like 100 numbers. We're going to whittle it down some.
Wait, you know what else?
What else?
It's getting so off topic.
Yeah.
Did you see Zion's video he put up?
Oh, we can't talk about that yet. We got to talk about that later. We can't talk about that
I'm
yet.
I'm just saying.
He's
just
definitely... saying. I mean, what... How many days? 17 days till he picks Clemson and turns the basketball world on his head? 17?
It's either Clemson or Wofford at this point, because you can't go to Carolina after Wofford beat him. You can't do that.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. You heard it here first.
You know, I'm seeing all these coaching contracts, and there's a lot of money flying around the college game, even more so than the NFL game. One thing that's going to be real interesting, and I'm going to monitor this in just a little bit, and by just a little bit, I mean like over the next few months, I'm going to monitor this. You know, the new tax, the tax bill that was signed into law? You know, there's some provisions in there about charitable donations, that you can't write off a charitable donation any longer. If I read it correctly, somebody's going to disagree with me on this. You can't write off a charitable donation if you get something in return.
Is this still about my team?
So, like, yeah.
Okay.
It's how I got there is kind of interesting.
Oh.
So, like, it could impact, like, IPTE. IPTE, where people are, like, employers are matching IPTE donations and charitable write-offs for IPTE donations, or, you know, on your personal taxes and all this stuff. And ultimately, it's going to cost people more. It's going to take more money out of their pocket to pay the actual dollar amount that they paid last year. Which sounds stupid. If I write the same check I wrote last year, this year, for IPTE, it's going to cost me more. Which is crazy. Again, that's crazy, but that's what's going to happen, because you can't write it off your taxes. Unless you freely give it, expecting nothing in return, then at the end of the year, you can expect something in return for it. Again, it's crazy stuff. So, like Jimbo Fisher's contract, okay? Remember Jimbo Fisher's contract? Where it's all guaranteed, $75 million, 10 years, whatever. You know how much of that? People gave, probably expecting a tax write-off, like all of it. They're expecting to write that junk off of their taxes for 10 years, right? They can't do that anymore. It's going to impact how people are paid. You can keep doing that throughout the conversation, by the way, because we're just going to talk about cash.
So much money, though.
I just want to see. They're going to have to change the language. Probably it's not going to change much unless they just don't change the language and everyone freaks out and they're like, fine, we'll cut our rates in half. Not going to happen. So again, I'm just thinking about all this. And then I thought about the Cowboys, okay?
How did you get there?
I thought about the Cowboys.
How did you get from one to the other?
Because every time I pull up any sports site, Jerry Jones is making some comment about how Jason Garrett is an elite coach and they're fine with him, right? They're elite, and they'll change the staff 100 times, but they're never getting rid of Jason Garrett. And I just thought to myself, at some point, they're going to get rid of Jason Garrett. At some point, they're going to get rid of Jason Garrett. At some point, you know, going 8-8 or 9-7 or whatever, that 1-12 win season at one time is not going to be enough.
Twice.
For that guy. A couple times, yeah. At some point, Jerry Jones is going to do something else. And Jerry Jones is not an idiot, right? He might be getting a little agey, right? He might be getting a little agey, but he's not a dummy.
He ain't stupid.
The best eras of Cowboy football under Jerry Jones, who was the coach, Kelly? The best era. Who was the coach? Do you know?
Way back. Are you
talking 90s. I'm talking the best era.
Jimmy Johnson.
Who was the other coach? The other best coach during that era of time.
Go ahead.
Barry Switzer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson were the best coaches for the Cowboys. What did they have in common, Kelly?
They both coached at the collegiate level and were very successful.
Oh, you mean they were national championship winning coaches in college? Okay. Then I went to ESPN.com yesterday and I looked up, I just saw the story, the 45 coaches that our 45 analysts picked which coaches they would hire. And among the names of coaches they would hire, shock of all shocks, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney. Some of it was like David Shaw or whatever, that's fine. Jimbo Fisher. I think the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys is going to be Nick Saban or Jimbo Fisher.
Do you really?
Yep. I do.
Do you really?
How long is it? You made the statement a number of times. You don't remember the last time the Cowboys were legitimately best team in NFL relevant.
I mean, obviously, I'm very aware of the more familiar with the Jimmy Johnson era than the Barry Switzer era. Barry Switzer was pretty short lived, but he did win the Super Bowl in 95.
That's correct.
I do not have memories of the year 1995. Okay. I do not remember the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. Yes, you're exactly right.
It's not a super profound point, but it's like, you know, it's going to be harder for coaches who want to make 10 years, $75 million. It's going to be harder for people to get those contracts if the, you know, billionaires who are signing those checks can't get the tax write-off. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see coach salaries normalize a little bit. And so if you want to get a raise, you're going to have to go get it from Jerry.
What if I told you? Besides those two 12-win seasons, you had 13-win season last year, 12 wins in 2014. This year, Jason Garrett won his third most win total of his head coaching tenure in Dallas.
So if you didn't fire
him after three straight 8-8s, why are you going to fire him after 9-7? And it's kind of, it kind of doesn't really count because that last win, you know. But, right. I mean,
they had the Zeke stuff where he was like,
he didn't have Zeke.
You know,
he didn't have Zeke for six games and he went 9-7. I am not the biggest Jason Garrett advocate. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy.
Obviously. No one is a Jason Garrett advocate except Jerry Jones.
Right?
I don't think he's the worst coach ever.
He's won one playoff game.
I feel like Jerry Jones is going to be loyal to a fault. And when he's not, that's going to mean that he wants to go back to whatever worked in the past.
But here's the bigger question, because Jerry Jones can throw as much money as he wants at anybody, right?
Yes.
Would Nick Saban want to do that? Would Jimbo Fisher want to do that?
That's why I think it's going to be Jimbo. I don't think you give Saban another chance in the NFL. He already failed in the NFL.
That's going to be
He lasted 2 years.
That's going to be really tough for me if Jimbo Fisher is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Look, Barry Switzer.
That's going to be tough.
Oklahoma, Jimmy Johnson, Miami, both won national titles. Both built elite national programs. And both went to the NFL and had great success with players like Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. Some would say, that the next Troy Aikman could be Dak Prescott, that the next Emmitt Smith could be Ezekiel Elliott.
He can stay on the field.
And I don't think Des Bryant's the next Michael Irvin, but they do have an offensive line, and they do need some pieces defensively, but that remaking that Cowboys dynasty might not be that far off for you, Kelly. And I think Jerry Jones in the next couple years is going to try to lure Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban to the NFL because Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson are how he won his Super Bowls.
What about Dabo Sweeney?
Nah, not Dabo.
Why not?
Dabo's too, like, he's a little too, well, he might try Dabo.
Dabo and Jimbo, same amount of natties.
Jimbo has ties to Texas. Nick Saban has lived and coached in Alabama.
Jimbo's ties to Texas are now that he's the coach at A&M.
Correct.
He didn't have a tie before that. He was at LSU.
He recruited Texas very well, though. Like, part of the reason you hire him at A&M is because he recruited Texas very well at LSU Auburn and Florida State.
What were Jimmy Johnson's? He was the coach at Miami.
Well, he talks kind of like this. He's got a Texas way of speaking that probably did well in a Jerry Jones meeting. Probably did well.
Oh, Jimmy's from Texas. Well,
he's from Texas.
There you go. He was at Oklahoma State.
He was at Oklahoma State before he went to Miami. That's true.
I knew he was somewhere around there.
Just saying. Is it the weirdest thing in the world I brought that up?
It's not the weirdest thing in the world. It's not the weirdest thing in the world.
Just throwing out there. It won't be proven right or wrong for a couple years. Just throwing out.
Do you give up on Jason Garrett when you know he won 13 games 2 years ago and he has that same core? He just didn't have Zeke for six games this year. That's the thing, is you saw him put it together 2 years ago. I know they didn't win the playoffs, but I think that's what they're like. You can look at one thing that tangibly changed, and it was no Zeke for six games. And look what happened, and injuries.
That's fair.
So you probably give him a little.
You give him a little
more of a shot.
Well, Jerry's going to get more at least than anybody because he loves Jason Garrett like a son.
Yeah,
obviously
he does.
You don't fire your kids. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. We'll talk some more nonsense, and we return in just a moment.
CMH Services is South Carolina's source for new Crown and Unicarriers forklifts, used forklifts, and forklift parts, service, and rentals. CMH offers a complete line of material handling solutions for every application. CMH is dedicated to providing their customers the equipment, knowledge, and support they need to make every operation a total success. Locally owned since 1968. Call 800-922-9569 to find out more, or go online cmhservices.net. That's cmhservices.net.
Calling all commercial business owners, managers, and operators. Crute LED has partnered with Duke Power to help you save money on your lighting. Lights UL and DLC certified with 5-year warranties. Crute has it all. LED tube lights, down lights, ceiling lights, parking pole lights. Crute has a simple and easy retrofit LED for all of your needs. Crute can verify your eligibility for Duke Energy rebate in seconds when you have your Duke Power bill. Visit online at CruteLED.com or call 401-8156 or email them at sales@CruteLED.com.
AdWords Auto Sales in Walhalla wants you to take advantage of Ford's year-end sales event. All the 2017s must go, and most models have 0% financing for 72 months and no dealer fees. It's the best time of the year to visit the Ford dealer who makes a difference. Danny Edwards and the whole courteous staff at AdWords Auto Sales wish you and your family all the best during the holiday season. AdWords Auto Sales is located on Highway 28 in Walhalla. Test drive Ford's finest today.
Anytime is a great time to buy jewelry from Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Whether it's a diamond for her, a watch for him, or maybe something special for an upcoming graduate, no matter the occasion, Reed's will dazzle you. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
Ag Pro's inventory clearance event has been extended. Are you ready to save on John Deere? Then you need to get to Ag Pro before January 31st. You'll find the best prices on the quality equipment you've been wanting at our inventory clearance event. We're equipping you with low, low prices on select John Deere equipment now through January 31st. That's right. The tried and true equipment you know and trust at unbelievable year-end inventory prices. Get to your local Ag Pro because our closeout prices are only available while supplies last. And visit us at agproco.com.
Doug and Denise Zirbel of Your Pie of Clemson want to give you a break over winter break. From December 16th through January 5th, kids eat for just $3.14 with an adult. There's plenty of parking at the new Fenley Street parking ramp. Get the holiday spirit with the 36-ounce growlers in Arctic bottles, gift cards for the stockings. This winter break, head to Your Pie of Clemson on Earl Street and enjoy great food, customer service, and great savings. Happy holidays!
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Now we can start the celebration.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
The second you walked through the door, I caught a buzz. One taste from your lips knocked me out just like a drug. The rest of the night's kind of blurry. Now the sun's peeking through the shade.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. 654-ROAR is the phone number, 654-7627. If you'd like to get in on the Northland Communication phone lines today, some folks have pointed out, Twitter, on the text line, people have pointed out the health care text line. Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer also have Arkansas ties with Jerry Jones? That's true. That's why it's not a one-for-one, because they're, you know, those guys are roughly the same age, and they, you know, some, they all played at Arkansas. You know, Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer both coached at Arkansas. So there were Arkansas ties there, too. It wasn't right. just national championships. But in the absence of anybody with Arkansas ties to Jerry Jones still in football, you got to go somewhere else. And I do think what those guys have in common is that they were championship-level coaches. Even Jimmy Johnson at Oklahoma State. I believe he was at Oklahoma State with, like, Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders, or at least in the back end of those guys going there. I mean, they had a really good team back in the 80s. Really good program.
I'm trying to look at what he did at Okie State. But here's the question. I'm trying to think of recent college coaches that have made that jump to the NFL and been successful. And it's rare to a certain extent. I think the one that stands out recently would be Pete Carroll, right?
Well, Carroll and Harbaugh both.
Harbaugh, yes. But yeah. Then he went back.
He went back.
And obviously what he's doing at Michigan now, it's kind of, you know, you're not quite sure how to judge that. But
right.
Pete Carroll, I would say, is one that you look at and say that's an absolute success story with what he's done in Seattle, even though they didn't make the playoffs this year. But, I mean, we saw what happened with Chip Kelly, and that didn't work out too well. We've seen Nick Saban struggle at the NFL level. And I think there's this
Spurrier.
Yeah. I think there's this kind of fear of going the college route. Because it hasn't really, there's a handful of situations where it's been successful, but it really, it's not exactly a way that a lot of NFL teams think they can go in terms of hiring a successful college guy. Now, Nick Saban's kind of different because Nick Saban is, I mean, by all accounts, the greatest coach of this generation in terms of college football. What
right.
he's done has been absolutely unbelievable. So maybe you try with Nick Saban. Maybe he's the outlier.
Here will be my counter to your point, which is not wrong. It's actually a very good point. People like Jerry Jones, can you just describe, like, their character, like, elements of the character of Jerry Jones? Like, what type of person is Jerry Jones?
Well, it's been a while since I've seen Jerry, but...
Right.
Just personally.
Hey, what do we think about him?
I mean, he's your classic entrepreneur.
Okay.
In that he's always looking for, I mean, a way to make money, first of all, but a way to... make headlines, a way
okay.
to keep the Cowboys relevant or thrust them back in the spotlight.
All publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Reminds me a bit of Mark Cuban, a little bit in that regard. I mean, he's been more outspoken recently, Jerry Jones has. What are you trying to get at?
Would you say he's a guy who has a lot of people around him that are advising him? Or is he like a one-man show up there?
I would say it's more a one-man show.
Okay.
It's kind of just his family member, like his son.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
So he listens to people sometimes, but ultimately he's going to make decisions, right? Because
yeah.
he thinks he's right.
Again, I think that's similar to Mark Cuban.
So if Nick Saban fails at Miami, I could see a scenario where Jerry Jones says he failed in Miami because his bosses were bad and the culture wasn't good and this is the right culture and I'm going to do it anyway. And Jerry Jones is going to say, yeah, I know no one else from college is coming to the NFL and having success except Harbaugh that one time, but I don't care. I'm doing it because it's worked for me in the past, and I know how to do it better than everybody else knows how to do it. To integrate a college coach with a, you know, with that type of background into the NFL. I can see Jerry Jones 100% selling himself on that logic. Trying to hire a head coach. Right? I mean, he's not going to say, well, it didn't work with Miami and it didn't work with the Redskins and it didn't work with this, that, and the other. So naturally it's going to work. You know, it's not going to work with me.
Jerry Jones is going to do what he wants.
He's going to do what he wants.
Let's just put it that way.
Correct.
But like I said, I think, especially because Jason Garrett still has a job, obviously he loves Jason Garrett. We get that. But 2 years ago, the Cowboys won 13 games. This year, didn't have Zeke for 6 games. That's the bottom line. You got to give him another chance because he's shown that when he's had the key pieces together and less injury issues, he won 13 games and was the NFL coach of the year.
I mean, this is all true. This is all true.
I'm not, as a Cowboys fan, I am not mad that Jason Garrett's still the head coach. I'm okay with it for now.
Can we move on now to Clemson and Boston College?
Let's.
Talk a little Clemson basketball.
I don't know how we got on the Cowboys for...
Well, because...
that amount of time.
I was going to talk about it yesterday.
It's a really interesting take, though.
We'll
see.
There's a lot of moving parts to it, and I might be totally wrong about... If I'm wrong about any of that, then the whole thing falls apart. It's a house of cards.
Nick Saban is also pretty old.
He's in his 60s.
He is 66.
And Jimbo's not. Jimbo's like around 50, I think.
Yeah, Jimbo's
maybe
younger.
Early 50s, something like that.
I want to say Jimbo's in his 40s. Hold on. He's 52.
52? 52. Okay. Clemson basketball last night. Oh, by the way, one more point on this. Scott on Twitter says Bob Stoops.
Ooh.
Could be Bob Stoops. That's interesting.
Hey, for the record, Nick Saban is older than Bill Belichick. Just putting that in perspective.
How old is Saban? Like 66?
He's 66. Belichick's 65.
Wow. Belichick was fired by the Browns. We're having this discussion about Hugh Jackson and why the Browns would keep Hugh Jackson and why the Bengals would want to hire Hugh Jackson. And I think there's like this just historically significant factor that the Browns don't know what a good coach looks like. And so just because he fails with the Browns doesn't mean he can't have success somewhere else. So that's why the Browns are keeping Hugh Jackson, and that's why the Bengals were looking to get him. And in fact, I think Hugh Jackson staying with the Browns is a big reason why Marvin Lewis is staying with the Bengals, because it feels like he was their number one choice. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that later. Clemson basketball last night, a 74-70 victory over Boston College on the road. A game they led by as many as 19, and I think I'm right in saying, Kelly, they never trailed in the game. Am I right in saying that?
I heard the announcers say that BC was up at very early
maybe
in the
like
first half.
Maybe like 2-0 or something like that.
BC by 2 with 18:43 left in the first half.
There we go.
But, yes, you're right.
By essentially, the point of that is BC cut it down to one possession and could not tie the game. So Clemson let the lead get whittled down all the way, which is a bad way of putting it, and I'll explain that later. But for these purposes, they let the lead get whittled all the way down to a couple points, but they never let it get past that. And the resiliency of the team, I thought, in a couple of different aspects, allowed them to get a victory on the road. This is an ACC now. If you look at the league, generally speaking, home court matters an awful lot. Now, so far this year, home teams, there have been 15 league games. Home teams are 12-3. We saw last night home teams win, I would say, games that should not have been the way they were.
Georgia Tech, Miami.
Georgia Tech beats Miami at home. You've got Notre Dame without Bonzi Colson beating NC State by 30.
That's crazy.
So, again, that's not a game that Notre Dame should lose, but that's a game that NC State should be closer than 30 to a team that's still reeling from Colson and didn't have Matt Farrell for a lot of the game, too. He got banged up. So, you see my point. Florida State, who's won like a million home games in a row, they haven't lost a home game in 2 years since, I think, February 2016.
I couldn't believe that. 28 home wins in a row for Florida State.
They beat North Carolina. I mean, it's hard, especially in the ACC. It's hard to win on the road. Wake Forest wins last night against Syracuse in a game that it probably, well, maybe a 50-50 game, but they still win. KenPom had Wake Forest 52% last night. KenPom had Clemson winning by 3, 70-67. They won by 4, so all hail KenPom. But, you know, and they had Florida State by 1, 83-82. That was 81-80. They missed the Virginia Tech game where Virginia went into Blacksburg and won by 26. The point is there have been three road teams that have won any game so far in the very small sample size that is the ACC, and Clemson is one of those.
Are you not counting Wofford?
I'm not counting Wofford as one of those.
Sorry. That was my second Wofford joke of the day. I'm so sorry.
You're so petty.
I'm so sorry.
You won't talk about Mercer.
I'm not sorry.
But you will talk about Wofford.
Oh my gosh. What year is it, Quark?
I'm just talking about Mercer? I'm just saying.
And Lehigh?
Yeah.
With CJ McCollum?
That was a good team.
Yeah, that was a good team.
That was solid. Anyway, Clemson wins by 4, and they did it without balance. They did it with a little bounce, maybe as much bounce as you expect from Clemson. You know how many bench points Clemson had last night?
Goose egg.
None. Zero. They had bench guys playing minutes. Scar played 14 minutes. Donnell played 8 minutes. And Amir Sims and Clyde Trapp played 4 feet. By the way, I just think Amir Sims is going to be so good. He's so raw and like learning, and he's a little baby out there, but he's so good.
It's funny
because he's so talented.
You call him a baby, which he is. He looks like a 40-year-old father of two.
He does. Even when he's running down
the floor.
Even his posture running down the floor looks like me.
Right.
Right? Well, that is not
would
actually
you say
good.
You look like a 40-year-old father of two?
I mean, I don't run well, Kelly. I'm just saying,
some of your sweaters.
Anyway, Elijah Thomas goes 16 points, only had 4 rebounds, had a block. He was not neutralized, but he wasn't as big a factor as I expected, with Boston College being a little bit weaker inside and younger inside, with guys like the Popovich kid who played 15 minutes, and Kraljevic, who in that, it seemed like he made 100 shots from that corner, but actually he only made 2. I remember yelling, that guy's made 5 of that same shot, and actually he just made 2. But didn't it feel like more like they were only giving it to him for that one shot and he made it?
I felt the exact same way. When you look at the box score and it says he made 2 shots, I was thinking, no way.
2 for 2.
The big issue, I think, with Elijah, though, was the foul trouble. He was kind of, I mean, that's a big thing. When you can get a big man in foul trouble, then you have an issue, or he's going to have an issue because he just can't play as aggressively as he would like.
He had, he played 27 minutes. So he was in the game still for a pretty lengthy amount of time.
That's generally going to be enough.
That's enough. And you had 8 solid minutes from Donnell, who, again, he's not gonna wow you. 0-for-1, 1 rebound, not a big deal, but I thought he defended really well inside. He guarded the paint pretty well. Scara gave you 14 minutes, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, like 0 in a stat sheet. And frankly, he got abused. It wasn't his fault, but he got abused by Jerome Robinson, who went 11 for 18 and made a ton of shots. And that's where I think we can, again, you got to hear what I'm saying on that, and we'll talk about that more when we come back. But Scar got abused. It was not his fault. It was not his fault. You're going to tell me, Kelly's going to make the case that David Scar should have never been guarding Jerome Robinson and that Robinson made shots because Scar was guarding him. She's going to do that we come back.
Now, look. I don't care who was guarding Jerome Robinson. The kid was 6 of 9 from 3, and he looked like Steph out there. So anybody could have been on him. But I'm not saying Clemson defended him particularly poorly, because when you make shots like that, there's not much you can do. But I'm not of your opinion that Clemson did everything they possibly could and defended him so well. I mean, it's hard to say. You really guarded him tough when he scored 28. You know what I mean?
It's hard if you didn't watch the game.
I watched the game.
Right. I'm going to make you agree with me with one question that you have to agree with me.
The kid is just really good. Jerome Robinson is really good.
The SCDMV is producing these real IDs. You know, there's some rumors, potentially fake news, that they might have pushed this date back. I don't care. I don't care if they pushed it back or not. Get your documents on file. Don't dilly-dally with this. Not dilly-dilly, but dilly-dally. Don't dilly-dally with... Can we give the people a dilly-dilly?
Dilly-dilly.
I'm saying dilly-dally, though. Don't dilly-dally with this SCDMV nonsense. Go to your local branch of the DMV and get the process started to get yourself a real ID, because at some point, whether in 2 weeks or 6 years, we don't really know, they will not allow you to travel with a South Carolina driver's license on a plane. You will have to run or drive a car, or take a bus across state lines. Whatever you want to do, take the train. Don Munson likes to take the train. Take the train.
Just don't go to Oregon.
Just saying. Thank goodness. Don't go to Oregon, where they probably had a freak out yesterday.
I pumped some gas this morning and
I got all over my clothes.
Yeah, it was a very traumatizing experience.
Couldn't do it.
I can't believe I made it here.
Don't get a driver's license. If you can't pump gas, don't drive. scdmvonline.com. Email your questions, realid at scdmv.net. Follow the scdmv on Twitter and Facebook.
I've never seen us talk about something where you lost it that much, because I lose it all the time. I can't get through sentences. But the way you lost it, oh my God.
I'm 63 years old and I've never pumped gas. What's a woman to do?
Segment 3, hour 3, yesterday. Go listen on WCCPFM.com after our show's over, of course.
Oh, my God.
You'll die laughing.
Short break. We'll come back for more after this.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and, of course, the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
You're scared. You cannot pay your credit cards. You cannot pay your medical bills. Someone suggests to you debt consolidation, combining them all in one payment. Can you really afford that? Is there something else you can do? Call me and see if bankruptcy can help you. Call me, Robert King. Together, we will look for a thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean.
Hey, this is Brock with Tom's Barbecue. My wife Beth and I are the new owners and are carrying on a 30-year barbecue tradition with the same 8 homemade sauces, including our famous Cheerwine sauce and scratch-made sides. Come by and enjoy our low-slow Southern Smoked Barbecue. We're open for lunch Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 3, and we can cater any event. Let Tom's Barbecue make your tailgate perfect with our custom tailgate packages. Follow us on Instagram at Tom's BBQ for special tailgate giveaways. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses.
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out, Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 1919 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 1919. Avant.com, code 1919.
Meet Chris, a real person who took the Health Dare 90 Day program.
Hi, my name is Chris, 39, husband, father, talk radio listener. I heard about it on the radio, listening in to some of the morning shows. It sounded like a plan that was doable. Incredibly skeptical. Tried countless weight loss programs before, and I decided, you know, after a while of going back and forth, to finally come in and have the consultation. It all came down to seeing a picture of me and my family. You know, I'd gotten to a very unhealthy weight. I was pretty much desperate at that point. Figured I'd give it a shot. It really wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. The 90 days, I had lost 64 pounds and 54 inches. Well, the Health Dare, it's given me the opportunity to be a better dad. After taking the Health Dare, it's given me the energy to play around with my son and be the dad that I've wanted to be.
Don't wait. Book your free consultation with the Health Dare today by going to iDareGreenville.com. That's iDareGreenville.com.
Trucks cost less than travelers rest. Save up to $11,000 off a new 2018 F-150 4x4 crew cab. Just $38,665 plus tax and tag. And they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. See the 2018 F-150 at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour one continues, Out of Bounds, William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich. You can call the show, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. The Northland Communication phone lines are wide open right now. We've been talking basically about a different topic every 8 minutes. It's been a bouncy first hour. If you missed it, WCCBFM.com. Click on the podcast. If you missed our discussion on Oregon's changing gas law that requires people... to fear for their lives by walking out of their vehicle, popping open a gas can, and pumping their own gas. Or actually, I shouldn't say requires, it allows.
It allows.
In like half the counties in Oregon.
You can still bring your butler with you if you'd like and make him pump your own gas.
Yeah. So the comments, I was thinking about this yesterday. We just discussed it. The comments on that Facebook post, it treats gas attendants like chimney sweeps back in like 17th century England. Like, could you not see Oliver Twist like pumping gas in Oregon somewhere? Could you not see that? Like, I can't believe that the governor of Oregon, the lady governor, which I'm sure some people are talking about.
Oh, my gosh,
the lady
yeah.
governor of Oregon.
It's her fault.
I can't believe she would expose people like me to lung cancer like this. What an unfathomable thing. Why not let the little boy, 16 years old with a full life ahead of him, why not let him contract lung cancer? I don't want it. He can have it. His body's immune to lung cancer. Let him have it.
I also can't believe you had not seen the Zoolander gas fight clip.
I've not seen Zoolander.
We showed it to Quag after the show. Fear not. He was educated. And I'm sure that you have thoroughly enjoyed it. But
oh, mercy. That was really good.
Hey, by the way, as we bounce around today, I just saw on Twitter, happy 12-year anniversary, Quag. And really to me, 12 years ago, Vince Young won the Rose Bowl in the final seconds for the University of Texas.
With that fourth down play, big time. Hey, give him a clap. Give him a
dilly
clap.
Dilly dilly.
Oh, you give him a dilly dilly. Dilly dilly.
And the clap.
There it goes.
It's a big moment.
You know, I feel like we should retract that dilly dilly because we think about, basically, he was never seen or heard from again. Like, after that.
Vince?
He was seen in the draft. Like, in the draft. Well, he was seen or heard from. Like, they had that one good season.
He had some good years with the
Titans.
Yeah,
he did. He was all right.
Disrespectful.
Breaking news on the show. Breaking news. You're gonna get
no, I don't really have one because it's kind of negative.
Yeah.
And this is really exciting breaking news.
Yeah, Terrence Oglesby's going to join us at 1:25.
I am so pumped to talk to T.O. because, first of all, I think a lot of people have really enjoyed when he's been able to fill in for Tim Beret, the legend, who's been busy with football stuff, obviously, when he's filled in on the Clemson Tigers Network call for men's basketball. And he's done some with you as well when y'all went to Charleston. I think that the listeners really enjoyed his former player perspective, and I think he's just really good. So I'm intrigued to hear his thoughts coming from a guy who's around the program, who played for the program, and just what he thinks of this team so far. And he was in Boston last night calling that game as well.
Yeah, so we'll get him on, get a little perspective from him. He spent a lot of time in the offseason with Clemson, some of Clemson's play, like Dante Grantham. Very curious about the development of Grantham, and I know he had a big role in that, so we'll ask him some of those questions and what it's like to be around the program right now. A couple things from last night. First of all, BC did tie the game. Somebody commented that on Twitter a while ago. BC did tie the game late. Clemson never lost the lead in terms of giving up to BC, but they did lose it in you know, having tied it. So, yes, they did lose the lead at one point. Jerome Robinson last night made some shots that, and I said this after the Duke game, Robinson and Bowman take bad shots and make them all the time. That's like who they are. Like early in the game,
it's
I was
like
thinking,
Steph.
Yes, I was thinking they're missing their bad shots and they're not going to stop Clemson. They're not going to guard Clemson. They're not stopping them. So that's how the game gets out of hand when they're missing their bad shots. If they start making their bad shots, there's not much you can do because what do you want to do as a defense? What's the goal besides taking the ball away? It's to force a bad shot. When you're facing a team of bad shot makers, particularly two bad shot makers, because if you have one bad shot maker, you can sometimes make it so difficult for him to catch the ball that that you can run him off his spots and do some different things. But when you have two bad shot makers like Bowman and Robinson, it's hard. And when guys, especially when you miss shots and Robinson gets the ball 80 feet from the basket and never passes and hits step back fadeaway threes, like, what are you going to do? Like, yeah, you can keep it out of his hand if he gives it up, but you can't keep it out of his hand if he gets the rebound and it goes 80 feet and never passes it. You can't do anything about that. So at the end of the game, Clemson is up by a couple. And
up by two.
Boston College, I think maybe Clemson's at the foul line or something, right? Isn't that what happened? Or Boston College was getting it out of bounds. One of the Scar comes in. Right? He comes, it's obvious he's coming in for defense.
Yes.
I think maybe the game was tied and Clemson had to hit a couple free throws to get up by two. I think that's what happened. Because Scar came in from the scores.
Dave DeVoe went to the free throw line.
Correct. Hit a couple free throws. Boston College has a ball. I'm watching with some people, and one of the guys goes, no, 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 no. The guy's getting killed. And my response is, and I'll ask you the same question, Kelly. So David Scar gave up like a million points to Jerome Robinson. The question is very simple. Who would you rather have on Jerome Robinson at the end of the game? Knowing he just scored 30 and a half, basically.
I mean, it's a fair question. And you put Scar in because he is a good defender and he has the length. And you think that length might be a way to challenge Robinson because he's been able to get a shot off on pretty much any guard and really on Scara throughout the game. But you just go with length because at that point when you're up two, you know a two doesn't beat you. So if your defender does get beat, if Scara does get beat, the theory is you'd rather him just contest the three, have the length on the three, and if he gets beat for a two, it's fine. You don't lose the game.
Right.
So I was fine with it. I'm fine with it. I don't know what you're trying to get me to say.
I'm just saying that's my point. That's my point. That you were kind of saying some stuff about Scara, like.
But you said you.
I don't know why he's that.
You say that you kind of think Scara is the best defender of all time.
He is the best defender on this team. That's a very good defensive team.
Okay.
Like a top 20 defensive team in the country, he's the best defender.
Depending on what kind of defense.
What you said though, I just totally disagree with as a matter of principle. And that is, how can you say somebody's doing a good job defensively when he's given up 26 points and a half to a guy? Which, a lot of it wasn't Scara, but some of it was Scara, where Robinson's scoring on him.
Well, I would think if you asked Coach Brownell, he wouldn't say, we did a great job on Jerome Robinson. Overall, the guy was unbelievable, and he was making shots. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think that anyone sitting here saying we defended Jerome Robinson really, really well and he just happened to go for 28.
I think there were like two times where I thought, man, they should have guarded that better. But the guy's jaying off of the wrong foot, spinning around and twirling around and making left-hand hook shots from 30 feet and the guy's making everything. Like, what are you supposed to do? What the goal is to, again, the goal of defense is to give up a bad shot. If you give up a bad shot and the guy makes it, you tip your hat. I mean, the guy dropped 26 and a half. He scored 28 points on 18 shots with no free throws. He wasn't going to the basket.
Outrageous.
He was 6 of 9 from 3.
I mean, I don't really. This is not really the story of the game, though, to me.
I think it's the story of the game because if not, Clemson blows him out. Like,
well,
totally
sure.
Blows him out, runs away, wins by 30 points. If Robinson doesn't make everything under the sun after halftime, Clemson totally and completely eviscerates Boston College, blows him off the map, because they guarded Bowman really well. I thought they guarded Robinson really well, but they guarded Bowman well enough that he had to work really hard. He had 19 points on 15 shots, made all his free throws, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 turnovers. They made him a distributor. And then there was Chapman. Jordan Chapman took 2 shots. So they took away one of Boston College's big three at the guards that made 100 threes against Duke. And they made Bowman work so hard in his 40 minutes of play, where all three of those guys never came off the floor, by the way.
Like we warned.
Right. But they just couldn't stop Robinson, even though they did what they needed to do.
Robinson was really, really good. And he's the reason BC stayed in the game and threatened late, without a doubt. My takeaway from this game, though, was not about Clemson defensively. Because, like you said, I think Jerome Robinson just got his, and that's fine.
Yes.
My takeaway was, this team loses that game last year. That's my takeaway.
Yes.
Clemson loses 100%. This game last year, and they didn't lose it this year. That's my big takeaway. The way that they made, specifically, threes and free throws down the stretch, when BC was threatening, when BC was making their run, when BC could not miss and scored 47 points and a half, the way Clemson held on, basically just said, we're going to weather this storm because we know BC can get hot whenever. Dante made big threes. Marquise made big threes. Shelton distributed. Marquise and Gabe made big free throws. That's the bottom line. You got to, if the way BC was making shots, the only way Clemson was going to hold on to win that game is if they also found a way to make some shots down the stretch. And that's exactly what they did. And I fully believe that last year's team, especially after a few of those tough losses, would have lost that game. And that's why I thought it was really big, even though you can afford to lose this game and you'll be fine down the stretch. But I thought mentally it was big that Clemson won this game and held on, even though BC fought back.
Oh, the announcers reminded us of it last night. All the times Clemson lost at the buzzer last year, the North Carolina game with the missed free throw, the Syracuse game in the corner, like the Virginia game was close late, the even at like the NIT game against Oakland, they missed. I mean, you could look back at a half dozen games last year where Clemson lost very close after the New Year's Eve victory over Wake Forest, where they came back and won a close game. Now Clemson in games decided by one possession is, or a couple possessions, is 2-0 with the win over Florida and now this win coming up. There were a couple other things that stood out to me in the game, particularly Brad Brunell's demeanor. I want to talk about that when we come back.
And T.O. at 125. Yeah.